From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to the world's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM, open lines this hour. Next hour, David Cerita joins us, the science of UFOs. Well, 7-Eleven is getting tough with Venezuela. Convenience store operator 7-Eleven dropping the Venezuela-backed Citgo as its gasoline supplier at more than 2,100 locations and switching to its own brand of fuel. The retailer says it will purchase fuel from several distributors, including Tower Energy Group of Torrance, California, Sinclair Oil of Salt Lake City, and the Houston-based Frontier Oil Corporation. Citgo is a Houston-based subsidiary of Venezuela's state-owned oil company, and the foreign parent became a public relations issue for 7-Eleven because of the comments of the Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez. Chavez has called President George W. Bush, the devil, and an alcoholic. The U.S. government has warned that Chavez is a destabilizing force in Latin America. 71% of the Iraqis responding to a new survey favor a commitment by U.S.-led forces in Iraq to simply withdraw, to leave in 1 year. The majority of respondents to the University of Maryland poll said they would like the Iraqi government to ask for the U.S.-led forces to be withdrawn from Iraq within a year or less, according to the survey. The month's poll came in the midst of a turbulent year, marked by increased Sunni-Shiite sectarian violence in Baghdad and elsewhere in the nation. The crocodile hunter, Steve Irwin, always felt he would die early, but that he would be killed in a car wreck, not by an animal, according to his widow. In an interview with Australia's Nine Network that aired Wednesday, Terry Irwin said her husband, who died from the jab of a stingray on September 4th, had an uncanny way with animals that both of them believe would keep him safe as he caught crocodiles, snatched up snakes, and played with other dangerous beasts. And you talk about uncanny. Several years ago, I had an opportunity to talk with Steve Irwin, and he just loved animals and felt safe around them.
Never blame the animal. It's always been my fault. But what I do, George, is I watch them, mate. I watch their eyes. I watch their toes dig into the dirt. You know, I watch for bubbles. That is the secret to success of staying alive around one of the hardest hitting predators in the world. The saltwater croc is watching, using your eyes, using your ears, even your nostrils, mate. They exude a smell. It sounds like a beautiful beach. It's incredible. So I use my senses, my instincts, and my training to stay alive.
And Steve Irwin's wife, Terry, says that the videotape which showed the stingray jabbing him will not be shown publicly. I think that's a good call. French surgeons performed the first zero-gravity operation Wednesday aboard a plane free-falling to create weightlessness conditions in what they hope can be a trial run for surgery on astronauts in case anything happens up in space. Dominique Martin, head of the Bordeaux University Hospital's plastic surgery unit, removed a fatty cyst from the forearm of a volunteer patient. The operation lasted about 11 minutes, was performed in 32 sequences, during which an Airbus 300 zero-G aircraft flew in arcs, putting it into a free fall and creating the weightless conditions for 22 seconds each time. Must have been tough, though, to do the operation. You know, the famous smile on Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa could be because she is pregnant or just had a baby, according to researchers. Now, how in the heck would they come up with that? Well, they talk about the kind of dress she was wearing, the type of gauze dress. They say it was typical of the kind worn in early 16th century Italy by women who were pregnant or who had just given birth. Well, our friend, paranormal investigator, he calls himself a demonologist, Lou Gentili, is recovering very well from an automobile accident that occurred several months ago. But we've got a link up for Lou on the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories, as you want to read all about him, a very good article about him. And Lou continue to get well. Well, we've got open lines for you this entire hour. So anything goes here. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4171. So with open lines, but I'd like to get your reaction to the fact that Terry Irwin does not want to show the videotape of her husband being stabbed by the stingray. I agree with that. What's your take on it? I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, you are on the air. It is your turn to start. Hi there.
Hi, George. It's Bill in Las Vegas.
Hey, Bill. How you doing?
Fine. How's everything with you guys?
Things are well.
The reason I called was to address this issue about the Steve Irwin video. And,
yes.
Not to show it for morbidity, but you consider the lifestyle he led, and it was all about people interacting with animals. And you'd think that, I mean, this is, I don't know the man personally, but I would think that he would want people to know about something that could potentially get them killed interacting with animals, so that he would want that shown.
Well, he had once said to his friends and camera people that if anything ever happened to him while they were videotaping, don't stop shooting. Continue to tape. Because,
right.
he wanted that recorded, and then I assume he wanted it shown. But, you know, I guess it was Terry's wish that it not be shown. It could be pretty gruesome, and I understand that, and I respect her decision to make that call.
Yeah. Well, I thought he would want people to know about it to protect themselves, you know, because he could save a lot of people's lives by having that shown. And he just kind of impressed me as being a person that cared as much about animals as people, and so that's why I wanted to make that point.
You know, a friend of mine was talking about this stingray, and she said, you know what, this thing probably had the brain of a human to react the way it did. You know, some people have been, zipped by stingrays in the past. But if I recall, I've seen a lot of videos with people holding on to them from the on top, and they're, you know, taken for an underwater swim. Man, this thing was mean. It was violent. I mean, it reacted. It was not. The fluke was the fact that it hit his heart. But it's almost as if this thing, this creature, knew what to do and knew where to jab Steve Irwin. A very strange story. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, welcome. And where are you calling from?
Oh, my name is Jeremy, and I'm from Sacramento.
Sure, Jeremy. What's up?
I was just checking on the internet on YouTube, and they had a thing that said, NASA scientist opens up. And I clicked on it. I watched it. And I was just wondering, if that's true, I mean, it is mind-boggling.
What's he saying? What's going on?
Basically, they had he showed some photographs of a couple of projects that we've been doing that the public doesn't even know about, like different types of probes that we've sent to Mars and stuff like that, and talks about time travel. And that's a NASA scientist. I mean, oh, my God. But I don't know if it's a hoax, and that's why I was calling. Anybody else knew about it?
Well, let me ask you something. Is his face shown on the video?
Yeah, that's the only thing that bothers me. It don't show his face, but it's only 6 minutes. And I was wondering maybe I could dig and probably find the whole clip. Because it seems like there's an audience listening in.
Well, maybe
like
we can
a seminar or something.
We'll turn Richard C. Hoagland loose on this one, and maybe he can tell us if he thinks it's real or not. Who knows? Stranger things have happened. Let's go, Steve, if you would, to East of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, George, it's Bernard from Pennsylvania. How's it going,
Bernard?
Tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to start off the show by saying I think you got a really great future with Coast to Coast AM. I really enjoy listening to you.
Well, thanks.
Is what I wanted to ask about is here a couple weeks ago I was listening actually to your show, but in between and like, I don't know, the news, they brought up a story about David Copperfield living in a group of islands in the Bahamas, and he said that he, like, quote-unquote, found the Fountain of Youth, hired private scientists to check it out, claiming that dead leaves fall in the water and they turn green, and the same with bugs and stuff like that. I was just wondering. I asked Art about it about 3 weeks ago, and he really didn't have much to say.
I'll check into that. I mean, that we can check into. I'm a fan of David Copperfield, and if he has indeed found the Fountain of Youth, maybe we got to find him. You know who probably has found the Fountain of Youth? It was George Hamilton. Man, that guy is ageless. Have you seen him lately? I mean, the guy's got to be 80 years old. He looks like he's 45. Absolutely incredible. Next up, let us go to our first-time caller line. You are on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Where are you calling from?
I'm actually out of Corpus Christi, Texas.
Well, welcome to the show. What's on your mind out there in Corpus Christi?
No, I was just wondering if George has ever had a caller call in about, because they talk a lot about sleep paralysis, right?
Yes.
And I was wondering, has anybody ever called in like that can actually make it happen to themselves?
No. Two things happen during sleep paralysis. One, it's a medical condition where you actually believe that you are paralyzed. You can't move. It's kind of a frightening feeling. And then we get the old hag syndrome. This little old lady who sneaks into your bedroom in the wee hours and holds you down. And as a matter of fact, when she would do it with kids, a lot of those kids grew up to be very sickly in their adult life. It's a very strange syndrome. So I don't know what's going on with that at all. But in terms of people inducing themselves to have it, no, I haven't heard that. Let's go to our international line. You're on Coast to Coast. Where might you be?
Hello.
Hi, where are you?
Hi, George. I'm from Burlington, Ontario.
Okay, hi. Go ahead.
Right, and that's Canada. My name is Mike Nickerson, and this is pertaining to a caller you had a few moments ago. He mentioned something about a website where
okay.
There's a video.
Yes, YouTube.
Right. Yeah, it's Moon Files on YouTube, right. And they showed a picture of a pterodactyl, Tyrannosaurus, and another dinosaur from the perspective of 300 million years ago. And not only that, they showed that the Earth had three moons, as well as a mothership on the moon, and that was tied in with the ruins on the dark side of the moon.
Now, what were they showing? I mean, was this just some guy talking about it, or was this a graphic illustration?
They didn't. It was illustration. Okay, some of the photos, especially the dinosaurs, they were blurry, and they looked okay. But it showed a mothership with the American flag on it.
That's interesting. But these dinosaurs, where were they when they took these pictures?
Oh, they were on the Earth 300 million years ago. So there was time travel.
Who took the pictures?
Whoever got them from NASA.
From 300 million years ago?
Yes. And this is from the moon's perspective. They also showed the silhouette of the Earth from that perspective, but apparently somebody landed. They showed a ship with the American flag on it, and it could very well tie into the Philadelphia experiment if you're into that sort of thing.
Oh, this is strange indeed. I mean, so you're saying that we have, or at least whoever has made this video on YouTube, we have pictures of dinosaurs, but that the pictures were taken 300 million years ago, and we have them now? We have these pictures? They're that old?
Whoever showed it on that internet website who doesn't show his face, this is what I see. And you have to watch it twice, George. This is unbelievable, man.
Okay, of all the things that this person is showing, which one for you was the most remarkable?
I'm the one with the three moons, and he goes on to explain about Mars being a habitable planet at the very same time. And something disastrous happened, and they all came here, or whoever was left.
Okay. All right, I tell you, a lot of people are very creative on YouTube, very creative. Let's go west of the Rockies. Hello, good evening.
George?
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, this is Jack in Colorado Springs. I'd like to talk just a little bit about the illegal immigration issue. You know,
sure.
Building this fence and the border is going to cost us taxpayers billions of dollars. How about if we ask them to get into the military, go over to Iraq so we can bring our boys home. First off, they would get their citizenship. They would get all the benefits that we citizens have. And I think it would solve a lot of these problems.
Well,
the country that they live in, I mean, the country they want to live in, I mean, if they want to come here so bad, then I think they should fight for this country that they want to come to.
Well, you know, that's a pretty good argument, I guess. It's something that makes you think. But at the same time, you know, of those illegals, some of them are really criminals. I'm not sure I want to see them in our military with weaponry and things like that. But you do bring up something that's worth a discussion at a later date. You know, if these folks are going to come into the country, if they want to be Americans, then maybe they should all be, you know, at least required to serve 2 years and you know, or to give some kind of public service back to us. Let's go to our next wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Steve, wonderful. Thanks.
I mean, excuse me. I'm sorry, George.
I thought your name was Steve. Your name's
no.
Not. Oh,
but
okay.
Actually, this is Eric. I'm calling from Arizona.
Who the heck is Steve? How'd you even come up with that one?
I was thinking about that you want your first caller who called. But anyway, this is Eric. I'm calling from
okay,
Arizona.
Eric. Go ahead.
Actually, I wanted to talk about Steve and Terry and about the issue regarding
the video. Steve Irwin. All right.
And Steve and Terry may have talked together about any future video that might be rolling, you know, in the event of his death. And she may have told Steve in the past that she wouldn't want video being shown of his death should it happen. And Steve may have, you know, then told Terry that he's okay with whatever decisions that she makes regarding that sort of issue.
Yeah, but I bet he sure would have given his side of it to her to try to get her to be convinced to show that video. Because my guess would be Steve would love for it to be shown, but I understand that she doesn't want to.
But before Crocodile Hunter even aired for the first time, never before have, you know, many of us even thought about looking at some of the ugliest of animals or spiders with the thickest hair and saying something like, how beautiful, or have a look at this one. And now I think that a lot of us who have seen the Crocodile Hunter have a much different attitude now when they look at a snake or a spider.
Well, I think you're right, too. He had a glow about him. He had an attitude about him. I remember when I talked to him several years ago, it was for a full-hour program. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy was just exciting to talk with. I mean, he was wired on every question I asked him. I had never spoken with him before that. I had seen his shows only a few times on Animal Planet. But, man, you know, he was and he made you feel comfortable. He became an instant friend when you talked to him. And I remember then, and it was 4 years ago, he was talking about his daughter, Bindi. And I never forgot that because her name was so unusual. And then during his eulogy a week or so ago, there she was with her microphone standing up, you know, tiny little girl, and it had her name, Bindi Irwin,
sure.
And it just brought back memories. He's a wonderful human being. Very tragic to see someone like that go.
Absolutely, and he was definitely a big-time ambassador to basically the whole world.
Yeah. You know what's so strange? This is what's so strange about television. If that video were shown, let's say one particular network had obtained the rights to use it, I bet that would probably rival Super Bowl ratings around this country, don't you?
It's hard to tell. It's hard. It's really hard to tell at this point. But right now, as far as I'm concerned, Terry doesn't want the video to be shown.
That's right. And unless somebody steals it,
no network has the right to show it at all.
Absolutely.
Until she makes that call, until she comes forward in the future. And if that ever happens, then a network has a right. But right now, as far as everybody's concerned, no network in the world has the right to show that video at all.
Let's just hope it doesn't get pirated or stolen somehow. And then it ends up getting on the internet, and then it's going to be all over the country, and nobody wants to see that. Hey, by the way, book signing is Thursday, as a matter of fact, tomorrow in St. Louis, 1:30 at the Barnes & Noble on Watson Road in Crestwood. Come on out there. I'll be there. And, of course, St. Louis being the old hometown, I expect to see a lot of you there, especially from my old Nighthawk days on KTRS in St. Louis. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment with more Open Lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I wonder what those in the know about human psyche would say about this, because it's happening to me. For some reason, out of the blue, I'm becoming more involved in music. I don't know why, but several weeks ago, as you know, I ordered a Horner harmonica, and I got one, and I'm going to play it for you in a couple weeks when I get back to Los Angeles. I have no idea why I've done this. None. Maybe in another life I was some kind of musician or something. And then about a week ago, I ordered a acoustical guitar, and now I want to fiddle around with that. And I don't know how to play the guitar at all, and it just sounds horrible the way I do it. But something is happening in terms of music, and I wonder if that's happening to you too. I don't know. Strange. I'll be back in a moment. We'll continue with Open Lines, and right around the corner, David Sirita joins us as we talk about some incredible UFO stories right here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, let's go to our wild card line to get us rolling on this half of the hour. Hi there.
Hi there. Good morning, George. This is Kathy from Westfield, Mass.
Hey, Kathy, how are you?
I'm not too sure at this point.
Uh-oh, what's the matter?
I have a fear for our country. You know, I wish I could say that I believe some things that Bush and his administration could say. Something honest and decent about them, but I don't support him or his administration or anything that comes out of that office anymore. I'm starting to feel like a foreigner in my own country. Actually, let's just take one subject here, and that's Chavez. Chavez is a socialist, and he's trying to end poverty and illiteracy in his own country. So what does Condoleezza Rice mean by destabilizing? What is he doing that's so destabilizing? This guy is trying very hard to, it looks like, to help poor countries. He's given many loans to poor countries. He's tried to supply more medical care and education to poor people.
Well, and he's also reduced fuel costs to some of our own states. I think Chavez's problem is he's almost like the bully of the block, and he's just not going around it the right way. You do not win friends by belittling, whether we agree with George Bush's policies or not. You do not win friends by belittling the man, by calling him the devil, by saying he walks like John Wayne, regardless of how you feel. I mean, he's also teaming up with countries that aren't too friendly to us, and you need to be very careful about that. I mean, nobody has forced the president of Iran to talk about blowing Israel off the face of the map. So when you got a guy like that saying it, and he doesn't deny it, and I have seen him speak in Farsi to people and students in Iran on videotapes that aren't shown here in this country, he continues to end most of his speeches with death to Israel. I mean, and when they get the bomb, whether they use it or not is not the point. The point is that you've got these wackos running around, and Chavez... I'm going to agree with you to this point. The guy has done some nice things for the poor people, but if he changed his stance a little bit,
George,
I think he'd get more support.
Hasn't the Bush administration been calling other countries evil right along? He's been calling people names also, so we're just as guilty. You know, our country right now is trying to remake the Middle East completely. What are we, an empire? Are we starting to gather an empire over there? You know, this is getting worse and worse. We're being more hated around the world globally than ever before. We have no credibility. And Bush never has said anything that is honest and decent that I can remember. What is he doing? What is this man trying to accomplish? Now, when you speak of 9/11, and we all agree that was the most horrible thing we can imagine that could happen to our country, but here you got a man that's riding a horse, living in caves. Where did Bin Laden, why is he hating us so much? What is going on?
Well, Bin Laden hates us so much for a number of reasons, which are way too long to talk to you about in just a few minutes. But keep in mind, we propped Osama Bin Laden up. We're the ones that financed him. We're the ones that got him going, where he was able to then create this empire with Al-Qaeda that he has. I'm still not sure we really want to get the guy. I think we could have gotten him a long time ago. And you do understand, previous administrations have passed on Bin Laden as well. And I find all this to be very, very strange.
Well, the strangest thing that I heard, I think it was in one of the books that I read that came out of from the Secretary of Security. I can't remember his name. That the book he read, he wrote. He stated in that book that President Bush turned around and told the Taliban.
That was Richard Clark, I think.
Richard Clark, you're right. Before 9/11, that he wanted a pipeline through the territory of Afghanistan to Israel. And the Taliban told him no, or whoever, you know, ahead of the Taliban, told him, no, we don't want that. And he said, good, we're going to bury you under it. My attitude against Bush, here is my primary
reason. Here's the thing. Here's the big, you know, the big reason why the Taliban said no is because they wanted a better deal on the pipeline, and they weren't going to get it from the companies that wanted to put it in there.
Right. I guess the point I'm trying to make here, if we don't stop, if the people in our administration, including Bush, don't stop talking like a bunch of Texas wild men and thinking that we are so arrogant with our words that, what did Bush say after 9/11? Bring them on, you know, bring them on. Well, you know, this kind of talk gets people nowhere. I can't say enough about this man when he opens up his mouth.
All right, but isn't that
effect on the whole world?
Isn't that you know, when we talk, you started this conversation by talking about Hugo Chavez and the Iranian president, which I brought up. I mean, look what they're spouting too. I don't think any of them understand what's going on this planet. Okay. I mean, the way I look at
it, we know what's going on either.
Well, we know what's going on. We just don't want to stand up and tell the world what's truly going on. And, you know, the face of it is we're carving the Middle East because of oil. And if they didn't have the oil, do you think we would care one iota about whether there's a democracy there or not in the Middle East?
That's right, George. It has nothing to do with democracy. You're absolutely right. And I'm glad you made that point, and I support that. That phrase that you just stated, and I'll do that forever, because this has nothing to do with making sure people are free or there is a democratic country. We don't care. We want the strategic location for our military bases and the oil. And this country is built, our government is building up, or a shadow government behind our government that's in power, is building up for something.
Look, you are you are a very perceptive person. You've been listening to this program over the last couple of years. You've been listening to the guests that we've had on this program, and you're beginning to understand that there is a much bigger picture afoot here. It's not just all one person. You know, when you point your finger at Bush, there's a broader stroke to this painting, believe me. And there's somebody else holding the paintbrush. Let's go to some more callers before we got to call it an hour before David Sarita joins us. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, this is Marty out in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Hey, Marty.
Yeah, you had a caller call, what was it, last week, asking the fact, you know, mentioning the fact that if there is extra-intelligent terrestrial life out there, it might have an effect on religion.
Yes, I remember that.
Well, I had a theory I proposed. I'm Catholic like yourself. and was raised Catholic. And I proposed a theory to a couple of priests I knew. I said, if we accept the fact that God is the creator of the whole universe, right?
All right.
Who's to say that somewhere out there, because I accept the fact there's other intelligent life.
No, I think you have to. I mean, there's no doubt about that in my mind.
That we are not alone, because our star is nothing. Our sun is nothing more than a star in a galaxy of stars.
That's right.
Given the fact that you know we have our revelation on about God through the Bible, starting you know with Genesis all the way
sure.
down, how He revealed Himself to man on Earth here. I told the priest, I says, who's to say that somewhere out there and one of those stars where there's intelligent life, that what happened here as far as God revealing Himself to humankind through the Bible isn't happening out there. Maybe not in the same way, because we have to take into account as far as how it was done here, environment and culture, right?
You have found it. You have stumbled across, and I don't know how you did it, with part of the keys of the universe. Because I am convinced that if there are millions of civilizations like ours, some advanced, some not, some prehistoric, some way into the future, I think that what you've just said is absolutely true. Whatever you want to call God, okay, you were raised a Catholic. I was raised a Catholic. A lot of my views have changed over the years. I don't want to get into why, but they have. But the bottom line for me is that there is a higher power out there. It affects all of us, and I think this entire universe is part of it. And you're absolutely right. However it's being done on these other planets, rest assured, it's happening. I just don't know how.
Yeah, well, you have to take in consideration how it happened here was due to the environment. And the culture, human culture. All right.
Now, how did you get to this point, though? How did you, how old are you?
I'm 65.
All right, 65 years old. At what point in your life did this all open up to you and you saw the picture?
I've got to say it was quite a few years ago. And like I said, when I talked to these priests, these two priests I knew, they said, sure, the church doesn't deny it. Probably doesn't.
Yeah, but what did it for you? But what did it for you? It wasn't the priest. You already had your mind made up before you even talked to them.
When I said it to the priest, they even said, it's possible. And that, you know, as far as they know, the church is open-minded on that.
How did you get to this point, though? What convinced you?
When I realized that, you know, we are not alone in this universe, and I accept the fact that, you know, there is a higher authority or power. That universe did not just accidentally happen.
You are so true on that one. However you got to where you are, you're in the groove. And stay there. It only gets better. First-time caller line, welcome to the program. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir. It's all you. Take it away.
This is Jack in Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah. Hi, Jack.
And I was in Vietnam in 1965. A lot of UFOs. June 19th, 1966, Nha Trang, there was a big sighting, and all the power went off, everything went dead, cars stopped, radios quit, everything.
You know, Jack, I was told about 3 weeks ago that there were a lot of UFO sightings in Vietnam, and that both sides, the Viet Cong, the South Vietnamese, even us, we all stopped shooting when this thing went overhead. Have you ever heard of anything like that?
Oh, yeah, we saw them. They would come right over us. They would watch us fighting, and we would see it, big light.
And everybody would stop shooting. All sides would stop.
The radios went dead. Everything went dead.
Yeah.
And the jets tried to chase them, and nobody could ever catch them. But there were a lot of UFOs.
Did anybody have
a UFO come out of the water?
Oh, tell me about this one. What did it look like?
Well, the one that came out of the water was just that we saw a light coming up, and a big light came up, and it shot out of the water, and they told us to go down below deck and not to look at it, and anybody who took pictures of it, they took the film away.
Are you telling me that you were on deck of a ship?
Right.
And what body of water? Was it the Mekong Delta?
Coming up about halfway to Vietnam.
I can't believe I even remembered that. But you saw a craft just shoot right out of there.
Right, it was just the light. We saw the light coming from the water. It got brighter and brighter, and out of the water it came and disappeared. And, of course, they panicked. Everybody had to go below deck, and they told us, not to, no pictures.
Who's that? Who's they? Your commanding officer?
Well, the senior officers.
But it was like commonplace. It was like no big deal
you
for them.
You weren't supposed to take pictures. If you did take pictures, your film was gone.
No way. No way they were ours, right?
Oh, no. Well, they told us in Vietnam that they were Russian MiGs, was some secret Russian MiG, but nobody.
Coming out of the water? I don't think so.
No. It was scary.
That's a great story. Thanks. Appreciate it. That'll be a good lead into David Sarita when he joins us very soon. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George. This is Denise from New York City.
Hi, Denise.
How are you doing? Good. We're not too far from 9/11. The woman call you had on, I think, two times before, I don't think a lot of your calls get it. President Bush acting like a cowboy. These are Muslim Arab terrorists that have been terrorizing us since Sirhan killed RFK, 1968. This is way before President Bush. Clinton is to blame. And these Muslim terrorists better fear us. Thank goodness for President Bush and a cowboy. This stupid woman is in love with Hugo Chavez and Amita John. And these Muslims, they have to fear Mecca, Medina, and their mosques. They called Jews pigs. They get hysterical. They're allowed to kill over a cartoon or the Pope. People are really Americans. There are over 22 million Americans are not vigilantes. They're going to get rid of these mosques in the U.S. Imams hatred because we're Jews and we know Arabic and we've been spying on them. They got to worry we don't blow up their stupid mosques and Mecca and Medina Haji because we are fed up with them. Every day it's a Muslim terrorist problem. Every terrorist act is a Muslim. There are no moderate Muslims. You know why? Because they would have stopped sick homicide bombings 5, 10, 20 years ago.
Well, no, there are moderate Muslims, but they're scared to death of the fanatics, and that's why they're not doing anything. Simple as that. Hey, thanks. I appreciate your call. And one of the strengths of open lines is you get to sound off whenever you want and vent. And, I may do that as we did several months ago that Wednesday. Remember we had venting open lines, maybe it's good. It's like a pressure cooker. If you don't let the steam off, that thing's going to blow up. And I'm at that point again where I feel as if it's out there. People have been acting weird. I mean, strange, different personalities. Even I go through these stages every once in a while. And I bet you do too. If you need to email me, let's make it simple. It's george@coasttocoastam.com. Make sure you put the T-O between the two coasts and then add the AM right at the end. It's not very complicated once you do that. In a moment, David Sarita joins us as we talk about the science of UFOs. David has devoted many years of his life to studying UFOs, so we'll check in with him on that. So sit back, relax, all of you, chill for just a moment. I'll be back on Coast to Coast AM.